He kōna e ipurangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
Workplace bullying is not black and white. It's a pretty grey area. It can happen left to right, right to left, or north and south, south and north.
Kia ora, I'm Kadambri Raghukumar. Today on Voices, we're talking workplace bullying. According to Statistics New Zealand, in 2019, one in five workers are affected by it each year. That's about 11% of Kiwi workers. 300,000 employed people, in other words.
Hey, it's the tip of the iceberg. It's pretty bad.
After over two decades raking in awards as a community journalist and sports editor, most recently with Hawke's Bay Today, Anendra Singh's journalism career came to an end last year with redundancies across the media industry being announced. Over the years, Anendra's gathered insights into several incidences of harassment and bullying in workplaces in provincial New Zealand. So writing a book was the obvious next step. This year, he wrote his debut novel, Workplace Bullying, The Beat Up.
Everything that I've written on this book is based on true stories. I've changed the identities, I've changed the location, I've changed to a certain degree the industry, but stayed in the media field.
The book follows the story of a few people who work with a magazine as reporters as they go through experiences of harassment and bullying by colleagues and managers.
I based all my interviews on real cases. So I've spoken to journalists and people in the media industry who have encountered these experiences. The Maori gentleman who comes here from one part of New Zealand to this magazine to start his career is a real case. The gay reporter who is subjected to harassment in the editor's car is a real story. The female reporter who is subjected to salacious remarks and all the other sexual innuendo and the picture put on the computer screen and things, they're all based on real things.
Let's look at some more stats here from Statistics New Zealand. Asians and Maori report a 13% rate of discrimination or bullying, while Pacific and European ethnic groups both had rates of 11%. Across all ethnic groups, women reported higher rates than men. The rate for Maori women was twice that of Maori men.
If you look at the protagonist, Agnes's case, she is an immigrant. She is, people look at her as an outsider, and to the extent where the union even ostracizes her, they go on a strike and they don't tell her. So she finds that she's on her own, and she sits there and she watches these things happen. She watches the editor bully certain members of the staff. She sees somebody suffer a heart attack. Scores of young people are coming and going. You've got nepotism, an editor who favors his own child. All the cases in my book have happened. Immigrants become vulnerable because one of the biggest issues I found out, and I'm beginning to, because I'm just starting to work with people who have become victims as immigrants, is that you are coming into an environment from overseas. You have no support or network. You know very few people. Your immigrant status depends on the report of your employers. If they file something that is tepid, chances are you'll be packed. You'll be packing up and going back home. The important thing to remember is there are some wonderful people here too. There are some great locals that Aggie encounters, people who made it possible for her to stay on with her husband and the children to eke out a career and make a living. But there are many, many vulnerable people, and I'm talking to a few right now. And it's not just people of color. You could be someone from Britain. It's treated the same way. I mean, I read as a former sports editor responses from people on how we treat other fans and racist remarks are thrown and all that sort of carry on. immigrants are subjected to a similar treatment once they come here. The attitude, according to my experience and investigation, is that show some gratitude, be grateful that you have been given the opportunity to live here, and that's it. Whether you have an opportunity to get your foot in the door, to get a job, to eke out a living is another thing.
Starting out his career with the Fiji Times and Suva, Anindya came to New Zealand in the 80s after the coup. From working as print journalist in Dunedin, Whangarei, and most recently in Hawke's Bay, the experience that immigrants around him were going through in the provinces sort of hit home.
One of the most revealing things for me was when I went out on my book launch earlier this year, where people coming out to me to say, you know, and it just breaks your heart. I saw people who were just a wreck. I mean, it's written all over their faces. They are consulting doctors and psychologists and such to get their lives back on track because they don't know how to deal with it. And they are the saddest thing for in the whole encounter is they don't know why they are in the position they're in. It's the thing that shocks is that employers can hide behind legislation. Employees struggle to find an avenue for redress. I mean, what is your option? You suddenly wake up and find, okay, the boss doesn't like you. Employees are ganging up on you. What do you do?
Alan Halls of Culture Safe New Zealand has been trying to do something about this for years. Alan happens to be a two-time nominee for New Zealander of the Year, and his organization sees hundreds of cases each year.
78% are highly educated, so either have a bachelor degree or equivalent or higher. 75% are aged between 45 and 65 years of age. And a staggering 89% are already in the mental health system when they come to us. 89%. So that means that they've suffering from depression, anxiety, or PTSD before they engage our services. And the fact that they're coming to us reflects the fact that there is nowhere else for them to go.
What people like Alan and Anindya are calling for is an independent institution for intervention. Not just a union or HR departments, but something like the UK's ACAS that intervenes on behalf of employees. New Zealand has some of the highest rates of bullying in the developed world. In 2016, it was as high as second on the list. While there is the ERA, the Employment Relations Authority, campaigns by WorkSafe New Zealand, the Human Rights Commission, and legislation that covers psychological well-being of workers, Alan says it's just too long a process and wait for resolution.
We've got cases right now, 6 years old, that are not resolved. There's an awareness that people are being bullied. I think we don't have in New Zealand, and once again, we're unique. We have no accountability and no negative consequence for the bully or their employers. And there is no policing of psychosocial harm in New Zealand.
I tried to contact Workplace Relations and Safety Minister Michael Wood, but got a written response to what mechanisms are in place to combat these high rates of bullying in New Zealand. In that response, he says, quote, MBIE also released an issues paper focused on better understanding the issues contributing to New Zealand's high rate of bullying and harassment at work. The consultation will be used to shape improvements to the services and information provided by WorkSafe and MBIE's employment services. He says officials are analysing the feedback received from the public and will provide advice to me on next steps.
Setting up an institution, it's got to be totally impartial. If the government was going to do something about it, would have done something about it ages ago. Why is it sitting around waiting for it to be this bad? We knew in 2016 that we were the second worst bullying developed nation in the world, but the government hasn't made any strides since then.
We know there's a direct link from bullying to mental health to suicide. And our big issue has been, you have to stop the bullying, to prevent mental health harm. And I mentioned a figure of 89% of our clients suffering depression, anxiety, or PTSD when they engage our services. Now, these are people, most of whom have no pre-existing mental health issues. What I don't understand, and like I'm an old guy and I don't have a degree of any sort, but to me, if you were serious about addressing mental health, you would prevent people being pushed into the mental health systems. Why not prevent the mental health harm from bullying? It's just, to me, it's a no-brainer.
Listen to more Voices stories like these on Spotify, Apple, and everywhere else you get your podcasts from. Today's episode was audio engineered by Adrian Holley and produced by me, Kadambri Ravikumar.